baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
And we're rolling.
6-1 in September. This is how I want to start a pennant race, my friend.
The playoff push, full swing.
The playoff push is here. What a great time to be a Blue Jays podcast.
We got our technical shit worked out just in time.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Walk Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. We've got all sorts of stuff to get to today, so we're not going to take too much time with stuff off the top, but we are going to give away that Jose Berríos jersey to one of our lucky Patreon members. We've got the name drawn, as well our good friend of the show, Garth Yorgi, who's very excited to be returning on Sunday for Long Toss. I know we've had a little bit of a hiatus there, but Long Toss will be back on Sunday. All the regular culprits, if you will. Jen, baseball Jen's going to be there. Garth is joining us. Hopefully Connor from the flight deck is going to be joining us. Yeah, so we've got all sorts of stuff there. But Garth has very generously put together a package of cards for anyone who joined the Patreon over the last month. And so we've also got that. And of course, there's going to be some pretty cool cards in there. I know there's a Vladdy rookie and a Bo rookie and a few things in there. Yeah. So we'll do that right away. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. Join the Discord. I know we've had a few new members join the Discord, so welcome to you folks. There's a free link in the show notes that, you just follow the instructions, and there's about pushing 200 members now in our Discord of just rabid Jays fans constantly talking baseball and Blue Jays. So if that's up your alley, get in on it. So without further ado, Alek Manoah, oh buddy, he continues to show us why he really is a true ace in this Blue Jays starting rotation.
Are we running down the list of topics, or are we getting right into it?
We're running down the list of topics.
Oh, okay, because I was excited to jump right in, so I'm sorry to...
No, you
keep going. This is good. All right.
It's exciting to talk Manoah. Right. I can't wait to. So we are going to do that. The Orioles and the Jays rivalry, I think it's safe to say that has been reignited, and there's still 6 games remaining against them, so it's only going to get feistier, if you will. We check in on the wild card race. Like we said off the top, the pennant heating up. All sorts of movement, all sorts of things to talk. The Jays head to Texas, so we'll check in on old friend Marcus Semien. The Blue Jays bullpen continues to dominate in September, and we're going to show a little love to maybe some unsung heroes that don't get enough. Obviously, Jordan Romano seems to be the man who gets all of the praise, but Jimmy Garcia and Tim Mayza have been absolutely nails at the back end of this bullpen over the last few weeks, so we'll get into that. We also, the walk-off, Adam and I are going to be doing our first live watch party and then a live podcast afterwards. That's September 25th. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that, where you can get tickets. All the money raised is going to go to the Jays Care Foundation. And it would just be cool to have a bunch of the Calgary walk-off followers come and join us. So we'll give you all the details on that. And then we're going to end the show talking about the old boys on the Cardinals, because it was a pretty cool game yesterday, even though the Cards lost. But Yadi, Waino, Pujols, all putting up some pretty cool stats here that we'll talk. And then we'll also, speaking of the Cards, we'll end on Jordan Montgomery, who has been literally dominant since joining the Cardinals from the Yankees. He had some, yeah.
I'm enjoying all these Yankees leave New York and then find some success. I mean, we got Joey Gallo, who looks revitalized out in L.A. It's makes me smile.
Oh, me too. And Jordan Montgomery had some things to say. He didn't really bash the Yankees, but he definitely wasn't singing their praise. So that's how we'll end the show here. Okay, so before we get right into it, let's draw these names. Let's tell everyone who won the Berríos jersey and the card package.
Okay, Jose Berríos jersey. And just a reminder, this was a Patreon contest. You had to DM us on Patreon and express your interest in the jersey. So thanks for everybody who did that. We had about 7 entries there, so pretty good odds. But the winner for the Jose Berríos jersey is John Dick. So John,
hey,
shoot us a message on Patreon and let us know, I guess, the best way, the address that we're going to ship it to or whatever. We'll work out the details from there. But congratulations to John Dick. And the Garthy Orgy baseball cards special package that Garth contributed as an extra prize here. By the way, follow Garth on Twitter. What's his Twitter handle,
yes,
Scott?
At Garthy Orgy.
Okay. There you go. The winner of those baseball cards is Ian Elliott.
Hey, so, Ian. All right.
Ian, shoot us a message.
Ian Elliott.
Same deal. Both of you, shoot us a message on Patreon. Let us know your shipping address or whatever, and we'll get those shipped out to you here later this week.
And a big thank you to both John and Ian for being involved in our Patreon. Of course, you can always join the Patreon. It's $4 a month. And every one of those dollars is going to Adam's and my equipment upgrade. Right, yes. Now we're kind of limping through, but we're getting very, very close to getting a new computer. And then hopefully that'll provide us with more live stream ability and we can go live maybe every day.
Look, I'm hoping to have new hardware in the office by the end of the month. That's how close,
yes,
we are.
So yeah, we're very, very close. Yeah.
Maybe
we're
in time for the playoffs. Into it.
Absolutely. So again, a big thank you to everyone who has joined the Patreon. If you have not, feel free to do so. We do all sorts of fun stuff there. We're getting back into the swing of things with movie reviews. I know we're going to be reviewing next week Battered Bastards of Baseball, which is a great little documentary. If you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor. Any baseball fan, even if you're not a ball fan, you'll probably enjoy that one. It's pretty fun. Of course, we do series previews. We also do giveaways like you just saw here. What am I missing here, Adam?
5% of all of our Patreon dollars is also going to the Jays Care as well. And then beyond that, we also have early access to our interviews.
Yes. Those, and speaking up, of early access to interviews.
Unedited. Yes. We do have, I'm just working out a time right now, but John Gibbons, probably next week sometime. So that'll be a nice little interview as well. I guess this is like an unofficial thing, but priority questions for mailbag, yeah, and for interviews. That's not, not a guarantee, but we definitely
do. No, it's not in stone. Yeah.
You know, if you ask something wildly inappropriate, just because you pay $4 a month, doesn't mean we're going to answer something crude or offensive. But otherwise, I mean, if you have a good question and you get it to us on Patreon, that definitely gets you to the front of the queue. So
I know John Gibbons next week had a pretty good one. Wyatt had a pretty good one for this mailbag that we got to. So yeah, again, yeah, Patreon is always appreciated. All right, let's get into it, buddy. Let's talk Alek Manoah. I know you were ready to jump in 2 seconds into this thing. So let's get started. Jays. The Jays take 3 of 4 against the Baltimore Orioles. And that was not a series for the faint of heart. This was probably the highest stakes series that this team has been involved in all season long. And that stems to reason. We're in September now. The pennant race is in the heat of the moment right now. And the Orioles were 2.5 games back of the Blue Jays going into this series. So,
well, like, look, yeah, look, let's look. It was a 4-game series with the doubleheader. This was coming off of 2 back-to-back pretty bad turnouts by the Blue Jays against the Orioles. The playoff implications on the line. We were up 2.5 games, I think it was, or was it 1.5?
2.5, yeah.
So there was a real opportunity for us to be on the outside looking in on this wild card race come today if we didn't show up. On top of that, it was in Baltimore, so it was a road series. Jays showed up, man. 3-1.
They really did show up. sweeping that doubleheader was massive. Mitch really White had a bit of a letdown in game three, but they were still very close. And what I loved about that game three, dude, was watching Alek Manoah sitting in the dugout after that loss, just staring out at the field. Intense. Just visualizing his start the next day for Wednesday. Man,
yeah. I mean, we talked about it on mailbag, man. We talked about it on the mailbag, what we needed out of Manoah. And I told you, I thought I wanted to see him pitch into the eighth inning. He went eight complete innings.
And this is one thing we touched on the mailbag a little bit. But Alek Manoah coming out of the All-Star break had a few rough starts. That's actually probably not the right way to communicate that, because his starts weren't that rough. He still pitched 5 to 6 innings. He got roughed up a little bit. There was concern about his workload.
In his 5 games coming out of the All-Star break, he had an ERA of 4.5. Not exactly what you're wanting out of your top pitcher. He had a whip of around 1.5. But in the 4 starts since then, so in his last 4 starts, he has an ERA of 0.95.
In the most important part of the season, by the way. I mean, what was his stat line on just the game on Wednesday? Because he only allowed 1 run.
8 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I mean, he had 6 innings where it was 3 up, 3 down. Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about
95 pitches, by the way. So
what I loved about this start as well was that Alek Manoah has the ability to strike out 10. We've seen it all year long. But we've also seen him pitch to contact when the bullpen is overtaxed, trying to elongate his time in a game. And that was exactly what we watched on Wednesday. We watched a 23-year-old kid take the ball, and not to get too cliche here, but we just saw the dog in the guy, you know? Like, he took the ball, he got on the mound, and he went after those Orioles hitters. He wasn't trying to pitch around them. He wasn't trying to strike them out. He was pitching to contact. He was trying to go as deep into the game as he could. And after watching Mitch White kind of scuffle a little bit and maybe go a little bit deeper into that bullpen than they wanted to do, he took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, like you said, he has that 10 strikeout potential, but to be smart enough to recognize that I got to get through these pitchers, or I got to get through these hitters efficiently. I got to induce ground balls. I don't need 3 strikeouts in an inning as bad as I need like a 7-pitch inning and an 8-pitch inning. And it's very nice to see. I mean, he's pitched over 100 pitches about half a dozen times this year. He's pitched around 105, 107 pitches in a game. And last night he was at 95 through 8. So,
and he could have gone back out. And I love what John Schneider did, which was go up to him and be like, listen, we're going to take you out. And Alek argued, right? He was like, absolutely not. Give me the ball. And then I was just watching the post game press conference, and Manoah was like, and then I had a pause and I was like, but we do have the best closer in baseball. So if that's the route you're going to go for it. Right. And then of course Schneider was like, hey, you know, like, you're right. Thank you for understanding. Went to Manoah or Romano for the save, and away we go. What is, do you have by chance Manoah's innings on the year? Easy to grab here.
He's at 171 on the year.
171 innings. The guy's going to pitch 190 innings this year. He's got 3 more starts in him.
Yeah, that's pretty safe to say. As long as nothing goes completely sideways, he should hit 190 innings.
Yes, knock on all the wood.
Which, I mean, for 2022 is exceptional. It's like he's going to be a top 10 guy in innings pitched this year.
It's incredible. And let's get a little bit into the Orioles, because the Blue Jays and the Orioles rivalry in 2016 was fierce. They had that wild card showdown that Edwin wound up winning in the 11th inning off a heroic home run. They were a very good team. This was a team with Manny Machado. This was a team with Chris Davis back when he still could hit the ball. You know, they had a really good team. And Blue Jays fans and Orioles fans did not like each other. They were a true rivalry within that AL East. And then both teams went through a rebuild, restructure, however you want to frame it. But boy, oh boy, it is back, man. Like, seeing some of the stuff on Twitter, like, this was so funny to me. I'm just going to listen. I know Twitter and Arden's welling every time he comes on here and we start talking Twitter. He's like, guys, like, this is so not how you should be gauging fandom. But there was, let me just pull it up here. So Kyle Grantham, at Kyle Grantham, he's an Orioles fan, right? Mm-hmm. And this was after game three. Of course, in game three, things got fiery. Vladdy and Teo run onto the field after Brian Baker, former Blue Jay, had kind of jawed at him a little bit and was doing the yap thing. And they were fired right up. John Schneider wound up getting ejected from that game. Like, it was a pretty fiery game. So this Kyle dude, he writes, "The Blue Jays are the most annoying franchise in the MLB. No other team has so much undeserved confidence and arrogance. And it's been like that for decades. Go win something. Then you can clear your bench because a pitcher looked at you funny. You've got three playoff appearances in the last 30 years. You've invested $1 billion in your payroll in that time to finish above third in your division three times. Move to Montreal." Which, obviously, a lot of what he said is wrong. They've had three playoff appearances since 2015, not in the last 30 years. They've also won two World Series, two more, by the way, in the last 30 years than the Baltimore Orioles have won. And the guy got ripped pretty hard on Twitter by Blue Jays fans. Like, he had 603 likes, and then our friend of the show, right, Lewis Foster, 16-year-old kid who's now throwing 92 miles an hour, he quote tweeted it.
Sure.
And just, I forget the snarky comment he put, but all of a sudden he had like 2,500 likes, right? Like, Blue Jays fans were just like, absolutely not. Screw you. But what I love about this too, right? Like, because there's Yankee fans that get on my nerves too. And whenever I start to get too upset, I realize they're all 15. Like, all these snarky comments on Twitter are coming from like 16-year-old ball fans. Right. Like, I remember playoff Tanaka, right? He's a Yankee Twitter guy, and he was shit talking the Blue Jays. And then one day he posted a picture of himself graduating junior high. I'm like, you're 16? Like, why do I let you bother me?
And thus is the state of the world, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But no, man, we've talked about this before. I think a rivalry between the Blue Jays and Orioles heating back up, it's just good for baseball. It's good for the AL East. And it takes the shine off the Yankees a little bit.
Yes,
which
it's
I'm
good
all for
baseball, because you know what baseball needed? It was more good teams in the AL East. Yes, you're absolutely right, Scott. Well, hey, ballot schedule next year. Who knows? Maybe expanded playoffs and all five teams get in.
Well, speaking of another good team in the AL East, let's look at what's going on with this wild card race, because the pennant is as tight as I can remember in a long time. These extra playoff teams, which I was so against, have made this September so much fun. So let's see where we're at, because there is a little bit of a gap right now between the teams that are out of the playoffs and in the playoffs. But then you look at the three teams in the AL that are in the wild card, and they're all within, I think, a game or something like that. But Adam's got the actual stats up here.
Well, if we're just looking at the AL East standings for starters, the Yankees' 15-game lead is now down to 4.5 on the Tampa Bay Rays. And they play them for a 3-game series starting today. So this AL East isn't done yet. I mean, 4.5 games is still a long ways to go.
It is.
With like 24-ish games remaining on the schedule. That's still a big chunk to make up. But who knows? Maybe the Rays sweep the Yankees, bring that within like a game and a half of each other. If the Jays can stay hot, the Jays could still win the AL East.
They absolutely could.
I think the best, if you're a Jays fan and that's what you're hoping for, is the Jays win the AL East. I think what you have to be hoping for is that the Rays sweep the Yankees.
And the Jays sweep the Rangers.
And then the, well, yes, for sure. Either way, we need to sweep the Rangers. But this is the last three-game series the Yankees have against the Rays. We play the Yankees, I believe, for a three-game series as well. But then we do have like 9 games left against the Tampa Bay Rays. So we can make up ground on the Rays easier than we can make up ground on the Yankees. So, yeah. All right, let's look at the wild card
standings. So the Jays, just to go back a second, the Jays are what behind the Yankees? 5.5?
6 right now.
6, okay. Yeah, because the Jays didn't play last night.
So AL standings now. We've got Houston in first place. That's a lock at this point. Yankees in second with the division, and then the Cleveland Guardians got that third division spot.
If they weren't leading their division, by the way, would be out of the playoffs.
But great carry point. On, Adam. Yes. At 70 wins, they would be in the fourth spot. So yes, outside of it. Wild card. We got the Tampa Bay Rays in the first wild card spot. Seattle Mariners in the second wild card spot. They're one game back of the Rays. And then the Blue Jays are 1.5 games back of the Rays. So, and a half game back on Seattle. We are 4.5 games up on the Baltimore Orioles. So,
and that was one thing that this 3 out of 4 games against the O's really did, was it gave a little bit of breathing room when it came to who's coming up on the other side. And then after the Orioles, where are the Twins at?
Twins are 7 games back. White Sox are 7 games back. Okay. Red Sox are out of it. 10 games back. Red Sox would have to go on a 26 game win streak and hope for some luck.
Yeah. Red Sox. The O's basically are the only team really nipping at the heels here, and even they have a little bit of space between them.
Yes, exactly. Okay. In that AL Central, Minnesota and Chicago White Sox, as we said, 7 games back of the wild card. They're only a game and a half back of Cleveland for the division.
So, yeah, that AL Central.
So, yeah, even though they're 7 games back of the wild card, they are very much in a playoff race in that AL Central. So, a lot of meaningful ball to be played between those three teams the next 3 weeks.
What do you think about all of the talk of a more balanced approach in who makes the playoffs and eliminating the top team in each division getting a bye and going on record of all the teams, so that way it's just the Guardians don't just get into the playoffs? Well, or do you think that winning your division is worth having that bye?
Okay, this is a complicated answer for a simple question, but I that's the best thing I do here. Make mountains out of molehills. If it's going to be an unbalanced schedule at all, and I know it is like a more balanced next year, but it's still, you play your division more than anybody else, right? Just not to the same extent.
Great.
If you're going to have a weighted divisional schedule at all, then I think you need to have the winner of the division makes the playoffs. I think, like, otherwise I just don't see the point of divisions at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it frustrating to see those teams make the playoffs while the Orioles, who maybe deserve it more, should be in? I don't know. On the one hand, this is the argument for expanded playoffs to more teams, which I know you hate. So my next suggestion would be divisional realignment, and you get rid of a division in each league. You go to 2 divisions.
Right.
Right. So now you've got like an AL East and an AL West, or North and South, or however you wanted to break it up.
The top two in the division have the byes, and then there's two. Then there's four wild cards.
Yeah, you win your division. You win the AL North, you're in the playoffs. You win the AL South, you're in the playoffs. Same thing with the NL. Yeah. And then there's four of the next best teams. Because then I don't think there's any way there's five teams better in the North than whoever won the South. Like,
yes.
I don't think it would be a problem. But I think that's...
I really like what you're saying here. And also, I think that sometimes it's blowing out of proportion a little bit because it does shift from year to year.
Totally.
Right? Like, you know, I know as AL East fans, it feels like we're always the ones getting screwed because we are in one of the best divisions in all of baseball, other than maybe the NL West, right? So, yeah, it's easy to look at what's going on in the playoffs right now and be like, well, this is BS. But, you know...
You know how many times 12-year-old Adam would watch this team and be at this point in the season and see that, hey, we're 10 games over 500 with, you know, riding the back of Vernon Wells and Eric Hinsky here, but we are like 14 games out of a playoff spot. Like,
yes. Yeah.
So even just expanding to six has been awesome.
I agree. I actually agree. I didn't at the beginning of the season, but I've definitely warmed up to these expanded playoffs. It has been a lot of fun. And it has.
Want expanded playoffs when the Blue Jays were expected to have this sequel of a movie be absolute gangbusters and thought we would be the 98-win team.
Everyone who keeps shitting all over this quote, has anyone ever watched a movie? Like, when has a movie ever just been like, and everything works out the entire movie? You know, there's ebbs and flows, right? Like, there's always that little, like, obstacle that needs to be overcome. Like,
hey, you know what? I've also watched a lot of, like, movies that started really well and then just totally botched the ending. So hopefully that's what's going on in New York. It's like a really great premise for a movie, but it had a shitty ending. Excuse my language.
Okay. Let's move on here to the fact that the Blue Jays are going to Texas, where our old friend Marcus Semien, one of the biggest free agent signings of the 2021-2022 offseason. Of course, the Texas Rangers bucked up big time for the man, going $175 million over 7 years, and this is his first year. And Marcus Semien really, really struggled in the first 2 months of the season. I think he had one home run through April and May. I think he was hitting under 200. Has he turned it around a little bit? How is Marcus Semien doing in Texas right now?
Okay. Do you know how many home runs Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has?
What is it? 25?
I think it's 25. Yeah. Marcus Semien has 21.
Not bad for not hitting a home run in the first 6 weeks of the season.
It was May 28th before Marcus Semien hit his first home run.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So since then, 21 home
runs.
He's
been who they paid for. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? It is so easy to look at a small sample size of a guy who just moved teams. I mean, we kind of went through the same thing with Matt Chapman when he joined the team, right?
Big time. Also 21 home runs, by the way. Marcus Semien, over the last, well, since May 28th, he's played 92 games with 21 home runs. That is a pace of 37 home runs for a 162-game season. So, very impressive.
And I think people forget to the intangibles that Marcus Semien brought to the Blue Jays. And he's doing the same thing in Texas. Of course, Corey Seager didn't need the grooming that, let's say, a Bo Bichette did while Marcus Semien spent his time with this Blue Jays organization. But there's lots of young up-and-coming guys on this Rangers team that Marcus Semien is going to be able to do the same sort of thing for him, show him the same sort of mentorship, the same sort of leadership. I think that sometimes it gets forgotten what Marcus Semien did for this team, and it's easy to shit on the dude, but Marcus Semien really helped Bo Bichette and a lot of the young players in this team, showed them what a work ethic and a system going about training can do for you, right? Like Marcus Semien was always the first guy on the field and the last guy off of the field. And I know that that rhetoric gets thrown around all the time, but you talk to anyone in the media, everyone that we've had been lucky enough to come on the podcast from Sportsnet or whatever it may be, they're always really quick. I mean, when we were talking to Julia Cruz from MLB Network, that was one of the things she said. She was like, Bo Bichette is always the first guy on the field, taking balls in field practice, practicing his defense. That didn't happen overnight. That came from watching Marcus Semien do that last year. So there are intangibles that maybe don't get enough of a spotlight on.
Marcus Semien, by the way, 23 stolen bases on the year. It's a career high.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what he had last year with the Jays?
19 on the season.
Okay, so he's running a little bit more with Texas at 32. I love it.
Yep.
Okay, let's do a quick shift here into the bullpen. And I do want to highlight a couple of guys because we talk Jordan Romano all the time. He's having a breakout season. He's literally become a top three closer in all of baseball. He's got over 30 saves. First Canadian in a Blue Jays uniform to do so. The guy is lights out. And we talked about it a little bit on the mailbag, how Jordan Romano, when we were talking with Jeff Blair back in May, of Blair Barker on Sportsnet, we asked him if Jordan Romano was an upper echelon reliever yet, in his opinion. And he was like, he's right close to the upper echelon, but he's not quite there. He's not a Josh Hader. I know Josh Hader has fallen from grace, but at the time, Josh Hader was still, you know, the shining star, the golden boy of relievers, if you will. And one of the big things Blair brought up was that you didn't see Romano take the ball for two innings ever. And you know what? You're seeing that. John Schneider's pushing him. John Schneider is managing this bullpen a little differently. But one of the guys that just seems to go under the radar and doesn't get much love is Jimmy Garcia. Jimmy Garcia was signed in this offseason, 2 years, $13 million. He's making $6.5 million a year. And it might be the best $6.5 million the Blue Jays spent all offseason. And I'm not taking anything away from Kevin Gausman, not taking anything away from any of the other big signings, but Jimmy Garcia has really shored up the back end of that bullpen. And it's allowed John Schneider to do stuff that we didn't see Charlie Montoyo doing. And those things are bringing Jimmy in when the chips are down. We saw it in Pittsburgh. He came in the fifth inning. So Schneider's now using Garcia as that high leverage dude who can come in and face the middle of the order whenever there's the danger zone is there, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily, he's not locked in as that eighth inning guy anymore, which is kind of what Charlie was doing. Now we're watching him come in when the organization needs him the most. And I think that's fantastic. Another guy that I don't think is getting enough love, friend of the show, Tim Mayza. Think about how hard up this bullpen was without a high leverage lefty in August, right? Like there was that freak accident at the plate where Tim Mayza was covering home. He kind of tripped. He fell on his shoulder, dislocated it, and was out. But I would love, I know you've got the numbers up right now. What has Tim Mayza done since returning from injury?
Tim Mayza, since returning from injury, his numbers look like, oh, this is not right. Sorry, keep talking, Scott. Let me.
No. All good. Like, here. So Tim had his struggles throughout the season. And there was a lot of people who were a little confused because he had such a dominant 2021 and really found himself in August and September, which if you're going to find yourself, that's when you want to do it. And we're watching him do it all over again. Again, without that left-handed pitcher in the bullpen, even though guys like Adam Simber had really great splits when it comes to the righty lefties, to have a dominant lefty in the pen makes it night and day more manager friendly. When you get into those high leverage situations, you got a big lefty at the bat and it allows you to match things up. Do you have those numbers up, Adam?
Yeah. His, since coming back from injury, August 24th, zero walks, two earned runs in, it's only four and a third innings pitched, but it's over nine games. Cause he keeps coming in at the end of innings and facing like one batter. So his ERA is like a little bit ugly, and that's what threw me off. And I thought I was looking at, I thought I'd entered it wrong, but his ERA is 4.15. But his WHIP is right around 1.1. So
the thing to keep in mind with Mesa too, and Adam touched on it here, he's coming in with runners on base in high leverage situations. Where, yeah, he may get credited with a run here and there because he's coming in situations that maybe aren't, they're not clean innings. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have a guy who you feel good going to when it's not a clean inning, like the value on those guys is so much higher. And I know maybe his ERA, but everyone listening to this is going to understand, right? A reliever's ERA is just not the right stat to be looking at in a small sample size. But Tim Mesa has been absolutely nails for this team. I know we've watched him coming in some big leverage situations. And as long as he can continue to do this for this team, it just is going to be good news for the bullpen. Can we dig into Garcia's numbers a little bit too here while you got some numbers up?
Yeah. Do you know what ERA plus as a stat means? Like I know that it's adjusted for the ballpark, yeah, but is it one of those ones where it's like 100 is league average, and then if you're at 135, you're 35 points better than league average? Is it one of those stats?
Here, I don't know off the top of my head. Right. I'm sorry.
That's all right. On the season,
put it in the comments, folks.
Yeah, let us know. Let us two buffoons know what make sense of these stupid stats. Baseball Reference has a great website, maybe the best baseball website to ever exist. But there's a lot of data here. Jimmy Garcia, we were just talking about ERA, not the best indicator. WHIP maybe more valuable when it comes to bullpen arms. 0.908 is his WHIP on the year.
Like the guy doesn't allow hits and walks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. His stats as of late, also very impressive. Oh, fucking. I can't wait for this new computer, Scott. It's going to be so nice when I can just pull up all these stats ahead of time and not have to reload the page and then refind what I was looking at. Anyways, Jimmy Garcia pitching very well.
No, he is. Absolutely. I mean, wait, this is the thing, folks, right? We're gonna look like geniuses when we get this new computer and we're going to look really on the ball. But
it's not a lack of preparation, I promise.
Like every single show we do, I do the prep and I send him the information and then he digs up all the stats and he has all of the stats lined up. And then this is what happens when you have a computer that is like a big old diesel.
40
engine.
Minutes into a recording and my computer has decided to lose track of which tabs were open and which ones need to be refreshed. And yeah, it is what it is.
Okay. Either way, let's move along here. The bullpen has looked really good for the Blue Jays and we can just knock on wood and hope that it continues. So Adam and I are going to be doing something that I'm actually really excited about. We've never done it before. We're going to do a live watch party September 25th. And one of the reasons we picked this, so we're all there in Calgary. They do a big comedy festival called the Craft Island Comedy Festival that I'm involved here. And the Sunday, Adam and I are going to do the watch party for the walk-off at Big Beaver Brewing in Okotoks, Alberta. Now, Okotoks is a suburb of Calgary. And for those of you who are baseball heads in Alberta, you'll know that Okotoks is actually like the hub for the baseball community. The Dogs are there. We've of course had pitching coach Lou Pote on the
World
the podcast.
Series champion, Lou
World
Pote.
Series champion with the Angels back in 2002, I think it was when they won the World Series. Yeah. But yeah, so we're really excited about this. Tickets are only $15. A bunch of the proceeds are going to the Jays Care Foundation. We're going to have the Dogs are frick, it's a silent auction type of thing. They're donating. That's the word. How is donating the word? I freaking couldn't remember. They're donating some stuff for auction there. Again, all money raised from that auction is going to go directly to the Jays Care Foundation. And then Adam and I, right after that game, and of course, this game is going to be massive, right? Huge implications, September 25th, Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to do a live podcast afterwards, and we'll be interacting with the crowd and taking questions and stuff like that. So it should be really fun. We've never done this before. Tickets are going to be available. We'll put the link in the show notes.
You bet.
And you're also going to, what we'll also do is we'll go into Discord and we'll put up all the information there as well as the ticket link there. And then we'll pump this another few times throughout the month as that gets closer. But yeah, if you're in the Calgary area, it'd be pretty darn cool if you came out, we all watch the game together and then we do a live podcast. So I don't know if you have anything to add on that, Adam, but.
Nope. That sums it up pretty well. Can we also, while we're at the topic of promoting stuff in September, your comedy album?
Yes, sure. We might as well do a little promotion for myself here. I am releasing a comedy album. That is going to be September 22nd, is going to be the album launch party. That is at Junction YYC in Calgary. It is also a part of the comedy festival. It would be awesome if anyone who hasn't watched me do stand-up, maybe you want to see that I'm funnier than I am good with baseball knowledge, because sure hope that's the case, right? The album is called Staying Together for the Cat and is going to be available on all platforms September 22nd. So
great album art for that, by the way. You just sent
yes,
it to
thank
me the
you.
Other day and made me laugh out loud. So that's good. We'll have posts up for that on Instagram and Twitter later today as well. So.
Awesome. Okay, buddy, let's end on some Cardinals talk. St. Louis. The old boys.
Adam the old Wainwright boys.
And Yadi Molina. They just tied an AL and an NL record for starts by battery mates. So for those of you who don't know, that is catcher and pitcher together. They're battery mates. They have started 324 games together. That's two seasons. Think about how insane that is. Yadi Molina and Adam Wainwright have started two seasons worth of baseball together. It's unbelievable. And as if that wasn't enough, it is unbelievable, right? And as if that wasn't enough, Yadi Molina, who has not hit a home run in 4 months, hit two yesterday. Now, the Cardinals lost that game, but nonetheless, a pretty special moment for Yadi and Waino. Yadi is obviously retiring. Albert Pujols rejoined that trio of legends, I think it's safe to say.
Yep.
Speaking of Albert Pujols, now only 5 home runs off of 700. He sits at 695, one home run away from tying A-Rod in that number 4 spot for most home runs ever. Man, I sure hope he does it.
I sure hope he does it too. What do you think is more likely? Pujols gets to 700 or Aaron Judge gets to 60 on the year?
I think Aaron Judge is more likely, but I still kind of feel like they're both going to do it. Where are you at on that?
I kind of feel the opposite.
Okay.
We got like, what, 24, 26 games left, depending on the team you're looking at?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a competitive team, and by competitive, I mean every team's competitive and blah, 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 right? But if you are jockeying for a spot in the playoffs or a better position in the playoffs, you're the Tampa Bay Rays, you're the Toronto Blue Jays, you're the Milwaukee Brewers, you're the Baltimore yes. Orioles. All of these teams, by the way, the New York Yankees play over the next 3 weeks. And Aaron Judge comes to the plate. How many times do you let him have a ball to swing at?
This is one thing I can't get over. Why the hell are teams still pitching to Aaron Judge? Like, I don't think that they need to completely Barry Bonds him. But, like, maybe they should be.
Look, when New York comes to Toronto on May 26th for a three-game series, I want to see Aaron Judge with 15.
September 26th.
With,
but yes.
Yeah, what did I say?
May. I'm not sure where that came from, but... All
right. When he comes to town, I want to see him on base 15 times with 15 intentional walks. I don't even think he should bring a bat to the stadium. I think there's no point. I want to see him on base every single time. I don't want to see him swing once.
No, you're right. Put him on. Especially with the way the rest of the Yankees are
playing. Right? Exactly. With the way the rest of the Yankees are playing. So, I don't know. If I'm the Rays, if I'm the Brewers, if I'm the Jays or the Orioles, I mean, that's half of his games remaining.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Maybe Pittsburgh.
Whereas Pujols, and that's a great point, man. Whereas Pujols, I mean, you're pitching to him. You obviously are pitching to Albert.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a pitcher... Other than, like, once he has 699, maybe I don't want to be the guy who gives up 700. But I'm giving him something to hit, at least. Like,
yeah,
especially for the next four home runs as a pitcher, I'm challenging Albert Pujols.
For sure. Let the right? old man swing.
Right, yeah. Exactly, right? Like, if I'm this 23-year-old whatever, you know, pitcher, relief arm or otherwise, right? I only maybe have a year or two in the big leagues anyways, right? Like if I'm Taylor Cicedo mm-hmm. or Matt Gage or whatever, I'm going to yeah. have a story that I could tell my kids and the guys on my beer league team that like, yeah, I struck out Albert Pujols or whatever,
exactly.
right? And that's a
exactly.
way better story to chance having than, oh yeah, well, he hit 697 off of me. Like no one's yeah. going to sweat that, right? Like nobody yeah. cares, but it is pretty cool to be like, yeah, I struck him out or whatever. So I think there would be, I'm not suggesting anybody is gonna lob watermelons in there at
yes.
all, but I just
but
think
there
are
challenged.
He will exactly. be challenged, and there's a big difference between being challenged and being like getting the old head down to first signal, we're not even gonna bother, right?
100%, man.
Hard to hit home run when you're just getting intentionally walked. So, yeah, I would say edge to Pujols in that, if I'm being honest.
I like that,
which is not something I would have said at the start of the year.
I like that a lot. No, we both didn't think that Pujols would be this close, but it has been a fun record to follow, without a doubt. And all the best to the legend that is Albert Pujols. While we're talking Cardinals and touching on the Yankees, let's talk Jordan Montgomery for a second here, because he said something in the post game a couple days ago that caught my eye. And he's like, I've got a good fastball, Montgomery said. They trust me here in St. Louis. The Yankees didn't. They didn't want me throwing fastballs. So here's a little stat here. His four-seam fastball went from 4.8% usage with the Yankees to 31% with the Cardinals. And the fastball is generating a batting average of 132. It goes to show you how a different organization can approach a pitcher a little differently, change the strategy, and boy, does it work out, because what Jordan Montgomery has done for the Cardinals is dominate. You've got the numbers up for Montgomery here?
Yeah. So in the six games since the trade deadline, ERA of 5.87 and a WHIP of 1.33. Oh wait, no, that's Frankie Montas, who the Yankees went out and got. Jordan Montgomery has an ERA of 1.45 and a WHIP of 9.06.
Yankees burn.
Yeah.
I love how much Montgomery is just, he's not beating around the bush. He's just straight up being like, listen, the Yankees screwed up. And you got to love to see it, because you can tell the Yankees fans know. Like, you go on Yankees Twitter and they're talking Montgomery all the time. Why the hell did we move Montgomery, right? It was a weird move. Because you need starting pitching and you need depth. And they had him, like, under contract for the, like, anyways. Love to see him succeeding in the National League with the Cardinals. All the best to Jordan Montgomery, and any pitcher who can shove it up the Yankees' butts, I'm all for.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he was Yusei Kikuchi when they traded him. Like, he had a 3.69 ERA before the trade deadline. So, I mean, like, he's not your ace, right? He's not Nestor Cortez, but he was very, very serviceable and a big factor in their, you know, first 58 wins.
First half of the 70
season. 70 games.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Misstep by the New York Yankees, and it is very welcome to see here in Blue Jays Nation, for sure.
100%. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everybody, who has stuck with us right to the end. We do ask, if you are still watching right now and you have not subscribed or hit the like button, it means a lot. If you do, it helps the algorithm, all that good stuff. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. Join the Discord. It's a fun little community in there. It always blows me away how it's constantly self-sufficient. Everyone's chatting, posting memes, talking
positivity.
Blue Jays. A lot of positivity. And the link for that is going to be in the show notes. Link for the tickets for our live podcast at Big Beaver Brewing just outside of Calgary is also going to be there. All the best, everybody. We will see you on Sunday for Long Talk.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers.
Shows to pitch to him.
Long move.
Thanks for listening.